Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and tonight we bring back the coveted Twitter Tuesday. Now, I'm doing something a little bit different now when we talk about Twitter Tuesday. Obviously, all of you listeners, avid listeners that listen constantly, send me your tweets. You guys sent me your tweets today regarding the Denver Broncos, and obviously sitting at 3-5, Broncos country has a lot of questions. But I'm also doing this feature here now where I'm doing Twitter Tuesday. Obviously here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Broncos, but I'm also doing this Instagram Live, not Instagram, Periscope, that's what it's called. So we're doing this Periscope Live, and obviously it's kind of an accumulation of the tweets you've sent me throughout the day, and obviously if you're watching right now over at the Locked On Broncos Periscope feed, you have access to it live right now before the episode airs on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. So we go through tonight. We answer all your questions regarding the Denver Broncos and much more. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and Locked On Broncos starts right now.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Locked On Broncos. It is Twitter Tuesday, and this is your host, Cody Rourke. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, obviously at Locked On Broncos. So let's dive right in, man. Twitter Tuesday has been rocking and rolling. My man Deion Hicks just joins me here live, obviously on the Periscope as well, episode to be released here in a little bit. Deion, welcome. Deion asked a lot of questions. Broncos country asked a lot of questions regarding the Denver Broncos. Twitter Tuesday, Broncos country is kind of stuck in limbo right now, and overall fans just want questions answered. They have a lot of questions they wanted answered. First off, we're going to start off with my man Dave Scott at Tank2521. He asked me, is Joe Woods playing, is his play calling too predictable since our defense is being outsmarted? You know, ideally, Dave, this is a very tough question to answer, ideally, because we look at how the Denver Broncos have been playing defensively. Now, there have been spurts throughout this year where they played phenomenal. Now, they struggled against the New York Giants. They came out flat against them, and they came out flat once again against the Philadelphia Eagles. They actually did very well against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. We thought, ideally, looking back at it, that the Kansas City Chiefs offense is one of the best in the league, and the Denver Broncos defense rose to the challenge. So heading into this game with Philadelphia, we didn't really understand what was going to happen when it comes to the Denver Broncos defense. And Benjamin Solik jumps on here over on Locked On Broncos as well. Congrats to your Eagles, Ben. Thanks for listening here, Locked On Broncos, live on Periscope, live here on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. So Carson Wentz absolutely scorched the Denver Broncos defense, and I don't think Dave, it has really anything to do with predictable play calling. More so, I think Denver's been running a lot more zone coverage, a couple man situations, but mainly they've been running zone. And I think Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles did a very great job picking it up. And ideally, you know, I think the Denver Broncos defense was just out of sorts this entire game. And hats off to Philadelphia. Hats off to Doug Peterson for getting his team ready. NFL leading 8-1 record in the NFL. The Denver Broncos fall to 3-5 after that 51-23 drubbing at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. So that was definitely a hard part that we want to talk about with the Denver Broncos. Just defensively, they didn't seem like themselves. The effort didn't appear like it was there on and off the field for the Denver Broncos defense, let alone the offense. Now, the offense has struggled for the last 4 weeks, and ideally, the Denver Broncos said, you know what, we have to keep doing what we're doing on defense. First down, Dante asked me, what's up with Talib? He's not himself this year. Roby's off too. And I, you know what, Dante, I think when I went back and watched the film, this was the one game I think where Aqib Talib had one of his worst games in his career as a Denver Bronco so far, because it just seemed like his head wasn't in the game. He bit on some RPO stuff, and Carson Wentz threw it over the top to Alshon Jeffrey. Stuff like that was definitely a big hindrance in terms of the Denver Broncos. You know what? The Eagles ran a pro-style college offense, and they were highly efficient, highly effective. Like I talked about last night on Locked On Broncos, their scoring drives were quick and effective, and that right there was the difference maker for the game, especially when, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles offense was scoring within 4 to 7 plays, you know, with under 2 minute drives on four scores out of the entire game offensively. So they started off with a great field position too. Hats off to the Philadelphia Eagles defense on that. But Bradley Roby, Aqib Talib, they had an off game. I think Bradley Roby's actually having a pretty good year. And the reason I say that is he hasn't been in the spotlight, but he has been one of the most consistent corners for the Denver Broncos this year. He has an interception on the year. I really can't say much about Aqib Talib and them right now. They're not getting picks. The Denver Broncos defense isn't turning, you know, they're not forcing turnovers. They're not getting, you know, they couldn't get to Carson Wentz. Now, Von Miller, people were kind of talking about Von Miller falling off. They're like, you know, he struggled against Lane Johnson. I disagree. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles offense did very well against the Denver Broncos, but Von Miller still generated a lot of pressure. Carson Wentz is very good at getting the ball out of his hands very quickly, and that's something that is going to keep Carson Wentz upright throughout the year. Quick plays, RPO stuff, the ball gets to where it needs to go. He was highly efficient, 199 total yards, 4 touchdowns total against the Denver Broncos secondary. That right there, obviously, they ran a wheel route and he caught it over Brandon Marshall in the end zone. Could have been ruled either way, but the Philadelphia Eagles got the touchdown. And it was definitely just an effort thing when I look at the Denver Broncos. So, you know, Dave, overall, to answer your question, I don't think Joe Woods' play calling is too predictable. I'm just thinking that, offenses are trying to figure it out, and they're really doing a very good job up in the box, piecing it together, communicating it down to Doug Peterson, not just the Eagles' offense, but other opposing offenses as well that have thrived a little bit against the Denver Broncos. They've been able to attack those areas where the Denver Broncos have struggled. And a lot of it's zone. They're picking up quick hits. You see it. The Denver Broncos DBs are playing back. Sometimes they're playing a cover 3, a cover 4. Often at times they're playing a cover 2 man under, or just a shell cover 2 with a, obviously if the receiver releases outside or releases past 10 yards, the defensive backs have to drop back where they have safety help over the top. So overall, the Denver Broncos defense has to get it back going, obviously against a very, very tough opponent coming up this weekend with the New England Patriots. Do you think our D bounces back against the Patriots? Is the new no-fly zone still elite? Dante asked me that question. I think they're still elite. They've struggled, and I think, you know, I saw it on Twitter today. Somebody said it, and I completely agree with them. They said that maybe this was the one game that the Denver Broncos defense kind of compiled all the pressure, all the times that they've had to win the Denver Broncos offense some field position or win the game essentially for the Denver Broncos, and all that 2 years of pressure going dating back to when Peyton Manning was the Denver Broncos still in his final year they went to Super Bowl 50, the pressure just became too much for the Denver Broncos defense, and then they dropped it here. So that was something I seen that I thought maybe I agree with a little bit. I think when you have a tough opponent with Tom Brady, obviously a great pocket passer in the NFL, the best quarterback ever, okay, and I hate the Patriots so much, but you have to respect Tom Brady. He gets it done. Rob Gronkowski. And I tell you what, Denver Broncos have struggled defensively against tight ends, and I'm kind of eager to see what the Denver Broncos do in terms of who they're going to match up on Rob Gronkowski. I would ideally say maybe why not try matching Aqib Talib up on Rob Gronkowski, because Aqib Talib has had success in the past lining up against tight ends like Jimmy Graham. You know, why not? What's it going to hurt? And you have Bradley Roby lock up on the outside, Chris Harris Jr. lock up on the outside. If you have to go a little bit more nickel package, maybe you could bring a Will Parks into the box to cover out of the nickel. I don't know. It's very tough. I still think that no-fly zone is very elite, but right now they're hurting because the defense, the offense, the whole entire Denver Broncos organization right now is hurting, and there's just this kind of lack of leadership that you can tell on the field with body language and everything else that compiles with that. So I appreciate that. Dion Hicks asked me the question earlier today. I talked about the Denver Broncos, not really the Denver Broncos, but the NFL in general. You have these teams like the Los Angeles Rams, the Houston Texans that are running almost a college-style offense and having a lot of success. Obviously, the Texans right now, probably not so much because Deshaun Watson's out with the ACL injury, but he says 3 of the best offenses in the NFL run a college-style offense. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Eagles. Don't we have a first-round pick that can do that? Dion, I absolutely agree with you. At this point, why not? Why not put Paxton Lynch back there? Now, I'm saying put Paxton Lynch back in there if he's healthy. If Paxton Lynch is not healthy at this moment, you cannot risk putting him into the game against the, you know, pretty good defenses. Now, the New England Patriots defense has played a lot better. Unfortunately, they lost Dont'a Hightower for the year, but they have played a lot better. They've been a lot more aggressive, and Matt Patricia has done a very good job. Bill Belichick has done a very good job of getting these guys into check a little bit. So that is something we're going to have to watch. Now, ideally, I don't know if the Denver Broncos game this Sunday is going to be flexed out of the primetime spot based on how they played last week. I just don't know. So we're still waiting word to see that as well. So Deion, why not? Why not get Paxton Lynch back there and see what the Denver Broncos can do in a college-style type offense? Maybe make the modification. I'm not sure if Mike McCoy or Vance Joseph are even up for it at that point, but you never know. It never hurts to try. So, you know, that's a great question. Thanks for asking that, Deion. Ron and Cap Hill asked me, have Vance Joseph and Joe Woods lost the Denver Broncos D with poor in-game management and little, if any, second half adjustments? You know, Ron, this is a very tough question because when you go through the post-game interviews, you go through the media interviews so far this week, for the last 4 weeks, the Denver Broncos defense has been absolutely frustrated with just losing. And a lot of times the way they lose. Soup, Alyssa, thank you for joining here. Twitter Tuesday, I appreciate it. But obviously you go back and you look at everything and the Denver Broncos overall have just struggled, you know, offensively, and now the defense has struggled. And now right now, question marks, you know, you got your hands up in the air saying what's going on. The Denver Broncos have never given up 51 points before in the manner of which they have. So, it's been a long time since the Denver Broncos gave up 50. And I think the overall performance and effort was discouraging. It looked like the guys on the Denver Broncos side kind of hung their head and kind of quit around halftime into the third quarter. The Denver Broncos scored defensively in the fourth quarter, obviously a strip sack by Von Miller against Nick Foles, and Brandon Marshall scooped and scored it, and at that point the Denver Broncos just couldn't get it going. That was a little bit of a momentum thing right there. It was kind of almost stat padding, but Denver Broncos had to figure it out and obviously make better adjustments going into the second half. Vance Joseph came out in his press conference this week and kind of touched base on the fact where he said, you know what, we've got to coach better. He says it comes down to coaching. We have to do a better job of managing in-game rotations, adjustments as well. And after, he says that falls on us. You know, every week, you know, fans get frustrated with him saying, you know, we had a great week of practice. Absolutely. But you have to carry it over into a football game. So I'm eager to see how Joe Woods and, Vance Joseph do this week regarding a tough opponent where the rivalry between the Broncos and the Patriots stems way back. It's a very deep hatred for one another, but it's also very exciting. A lot of good things, a lot of bad memories as well when we talk about the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. So thank you for that question there, Ron. Appreciate it. It says now, Samantha Jameson, she says, personally, I'd like to see Vance Joseph throw a Gatorade barrel or scream something. When the camera is on him, he is always blank. Issues in the mental game, too many penalties, especially on third down. We are handing yards to the opposing team. How do we coach that? Now, Samantha, as a high school football coach, as a football coach in general, you have to deal a lot with discipline. And when I watched the Broncos against Philadelphia and you saw the constant jumping off sides, neutral zone infractions, false starts, holdings, a lot of it is due to a lack of discipline and the overall nature of the game. Now, these guys are professional athletes, okay? They're professional athletes. Let's not get that wrong. But at the same time, you have to be disciplined. You can't be undisciplined in the game of football because it can cost you major field position. We've seen multiple times the Denver Broncos have a third down play where they convert for a first down, but it's brought back for a holding call. So now you have a third in either 23 or you have a third and 17. And at that point, you can't really make plays in the NFL when you have penalties that set back momentum like that. So ideally, but I think Samantha's point overall for Broncos country is why not? Why not, you know, Vance Joseph have a lot of emotion? Show emotion on the sideline. Rip somebody's tail, because right now everybody's watching the sidelines. After a bad play happens for the Denver Broncos, they look and Vance Joseph has his arms crossed, his lips puckered, and he's just kind of sitting there thinking, what do I do? And now that's normal for a first-year head coach. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we dive into the rest of the Twitter Tuesday questions, I want to take the time to tell you guys right now, if you love listening to Locked On Broncos, please go to iTunes right now and leave a 5-star review for the Denver Broncos, Locked On Broncos. And when you do, when you leave a 5-star review, tell us why you love the show, but include your Twitter handle in the review, and you will be entered in to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription powered by the Locked On Podcast Network and Pro Football Focus. You get access to advanced analytics as well as draft coverage when the draft comes up, as well as player grades and breakdowns for your favorite teams by position. The broad spectrum kind of widens when it comes to analyzing fantasy and also realistic performance on the field and off the field for your favorite team. So if you want Denver Broncos statistics on the quarterback, the offensive line, defensive backs, how they're playing, what grades they grade out at, Pro Football Focus has you covered as well. So also in the meantime, if you're a Denver Broncos fan like me, you love Denver sports, then you need to listen to, if you listen to daily, the Locked On Broncos podcast. It's NBA season right now, as well as the NFL season. So head on over to Locked On Nuggets and listen to my man Adam Maris over there. I got a lot of flack because I accidentally called him Adam Maris from his listener, and it's not that. So I definitely apologize for all my listeners. Adam Maris over there at Locked On Nuggets. He runs a great daily show. He's got a great interview up today with an NBA assistant coach over there at Locked On Nuggets. Head on over to iTunes right now. Subscribe to Locked On Nuggets. Listen to Adam Maris all day covering the Denver Nuggets. Basketball, Mile High Basketball is back. You got Nikola Jokic. Mike Malone has taken over and is trying to instill a new attitude in the Denver Nuggets, something where he wants to see them play defense for once, as well as score at an offensive efficiency. So Locked On Nuggets, Adam Maris over there for Locked On Nuggets as well. So very excited about that. Go over there, tune in, Locked On Nuggets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And also, if you want to catch up with all the latest NFL news going on, head on over to Locked On NFL and listen to, obviously, Matt Williamson's display and show what he has over there. He's got the latest news, analysis, weekly matchup coverage around the NFL. Obviously, Josh Gordon being reinstated for the NFL is a big topic. Matt Williamson covers it over there, over at Locked On NFL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So let's dive right back into Twitter Tuesday. Obviously, we're doing this thing live here on Periscope, as well as scrolling through the Twitter sphere for all the questions that you guys sent me today. And Bridget, she asked me a question at DenBron77. She goes, is Paxton Lynch still injured, or does he not know the playbook? What's up with him? So Bridget, to answer your question, I know you're tuning in tonight. To answer your question, Paxton Lynch is still a little bit injured. Paxton Lynch's shoulder is not fully there. And a lot of times, Vance Joseph this week, and you know, found himself under a little bit of fire for technically saying, indicating he wasn't mentally or physically ready. Now, he clarified those comments and said he didn't mean it by IQ standpoint or his football knowledge, but obviously the mental part of coming back from an injury is very tough, and that's what Vance Joseph noted about Paxton Lynch. Now, obviously, I don't think Paxton Lynch will play this week. He was active. He's been practicing. He's been getting a lot better. He's been getting a lot more repetitions in practice, but overall, we're not going to see Paxton Lynch this week yet. Now, if Brock Osweiler comes in and plays and doesn't play very well against the New England Patriots, you know, the Denver Broncos aren't going to go back to Trevor Siemian. They may. Mike Klisch reported it today of the Denver Post or Denver Channel 9 News. He reported that they may go back with Trevor Siemian. But at this point, if Paxton Lynch is healthy, why not put him out there and why not see what he can do for the Denver Broncos? He's a first-round draft pick. Why not try and see? Obviously, in Carson Wentz's class, Carson Wentz is having a lot of success and balling. Why not give Paxton Lynch to try, get him a time to, you know, sample what he's got and the last remaining games that the Denver Broncos have, and be able to either grow, or the Denver Broncos will realize after the season is over, okay, we don't have a quarterback on our roster right now that we trust would be, you know, obviously carrying over our offense under Mike McCoy's system, Vance Joseph, whatever it may be. So there's just a lot of questions looming for the Denver Broncos. Maybe a lot of fans are talking about potentially having the Denver Broncos, you know, make a move for Kirk Cousins or Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees in the offseason during free agency. Now, at that point, the Denver Broncos might have to make some very tough decisions in terms of cap space, as well as what they plan on doing in the future with contracts like Demaryius Thomas, obviously Trevor Siemian, Emmanuel Sanders, Aqib Talib's contract. We could see some guys being cut. We could see some guys being traded, you know, for the Denver Broncos, just to free up cap space to bring guys in. John Elway, you know, I trust John Elway's ability to make these great business decisions. Now, he gets a lot of criticism for obviously how he's drafted on the offensive side of the ball. However, I do think Garrett Bowles was a phenomenal pick for the Denver Broncos. I think that was a much needed pick. He's going to be good. He's going to be fine. He's young. Well, he's 25 years young, but he's going to be fine. He's one of the most consistent Broncos right now. He's learning. He's going up against some of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So when we look at the, you know, Garrett Bowles and the draft pick, I think John Elway made a great move there. Now in the future, we look at John Elway's offensive history. We're not that impressed, but defensively, John Elway has done a great job constructing a formula where if you have a very successful defense, you just need an offense that can put up some points, manage a game, and then the likelihood of you winning is very good. They followed the blueprint that the Seattle Seahawks did. Now, Seattle's kind of struggling as well, and I'm not too sure what's going on with all their struggles, but, you know, the Denver Broncos are in the same boat at 3-5. They started off the season 3-1. They lost four straight. They got a tough game on Sunday night, or Sunday, if it gets flexed out, to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, who are coming to town, and they're good. Their offense is very good. They've got firepower, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, James Wyatt, obviously, Deion Lewis, so, the New England Patriots, and obviously a quarterback who's very good at putting the ball where he wants it to be put in Tom Brady. So that's going to be a scary game. The Denver Broncos have their hands full, obviously, as well. So all you guys listening here on Periscope, I appreciate your questions so far. So Dustin Gale, man, my man, he kind of likes to stir the pot a little bit. He asked me the question, Vance Joseph, is he one and done? Dustin, I'm not sure. I don't think that John Elway at this point would give him one season and just fire Vance Joseph. Now, if things don't change, if the Denver Broncos keep losing games in a big fashion by more than 18 points, right now the Denver Broncos in this four-game stretch are losing games by a combined average of 18 points. That's not something that you can have in the NFL, period, plain and simple. And a lot of that is on coaching, but it's also as much on the coaches as it is the players. The players can get a coach fired overall. So I think the Denver Broncos have to do a very good job. John Elway's got to analyze. Vance Joseph has got to get these guys in check a little bit to see how he can rally the guys. Now, you know, this four-game stretch has been very concerning from a leadership standpoint. It just appears as if the Denver Broncos are saying the same thing every week after a loss. They're losing the same way every week, and they're doing the same things every week, and it's just not working out for the Denver Broncos. So Dave Scott jumps in on that question from Dustin Gale and says, I will answer, but if you're looking for a conversation, I hope that's not the case. I think Vance Joseph is just finding feet. You got to give him some more time. You can't just give him one season. Now, what you can do, ideally, you can give him 1.5 seasons. Now, let's say that the Denver Broncos can, lose out or they don't do good and they finish off with a top 10 pick in the NFL draft this week. What the Denver Broncos can do, ideally going forward, maybe you make Mike McCoy your interim head coach if things just aren't working out, okay? And this is going into next season. If the Denver Broncos, let's say, I hate looking ahead because I think it's absolutely pointless, but if the Denver Broncos go into next season at an 0-3, they start off maybe 1-4, whatever the record may be. If it's not a good record, then at that point you decide, you know what, Josh McDaniels 2.0, Vance Joseph, you got to go. We can't have this. John Elway's mantra for this organization is winning world championships every single day. So I think that's an important thing we have to understand when we talk about Denver and obviously getting back to the Super Bowl. Right now, the Denver Broncos sitting at 3-5 have to win out the rest of their games, in my opinion, in order to be eligible to make the playoffs at 11-5. I think it would be a wild card spot. Now, the weird thing about it is they're only 2.5 games back from Kansas City right now. And Kansas City's playing very good football. A divisional opponent who seems to have the right formula right now. Alex Smith is playing very good. Their offense is predicated around it with strengths. He's taking vertical shots more. He's throwing the ball down deep more rather than just the dink and dunk formation that we know primarily of what Alex Smith used to do. So that's something that we need to look at as well. So be sure to tell me. Braden DeWizard, he asked me a question. He says, is there a quarterback you think will be a franchise quarterback in the draft? Also, O-line help in the draft. Now, Braden, I like your question because it brings up a very, very interesting point. The Denver Broncos overall, I feel like if they want to have success at the quarterback position, I don't know if you draft a guy, because look what happened last time we drafted a guy in the first round at the quarterback spot. Okay, he's currently sitting in third on the depth chart. He's been injured. He got hurt in preseason. It's 2 years in a row he couldn't beat out a 7th round draft pick and Trevor Siemian out of Northwestern. Do you take that risk? Do you take that gamble again? And I'm just kind of pondering that thought. Now, there is a quarterback. There's two quarterbacks that I really do like, okay? One of them is Lamar Jackson. The other one is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma, Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. They're absolutely balling this year. Now, Baker Mayfield just threw for, well over 600 yards, or was it 500 and something yards, completely, over Oklahoma State in the Bedlam Bowl. That was impressive. And Lamar Jackson's having a Heisman-type year for Louisville as well. He's playing very efficient. Now, you got to watch the film on both of these quarterbacks. Okay, okay? They kind of almost have similar but different styles. Lamar Jackson has the ability to stand back in the pocket and make throws, as well as extend plays with his, you know, athleticism, his feet. We've seen Carson Wentz thrive off that. We've seen Deshaun Watson thrive in the NFL off that. People said, oh, these guys can't run a college-style offense against a professional NFL football team because defenses are too disciplined, defenses are too quick, defenses are too gap-present. And obviously, Deshaun Watson has kind of tore that narrative up. Now, it's unfortunate for him. He's out for the rest of the year with that torn ACL. But overall, I think the Denver Broncos have, maybe they want to look at that formula. Why not try it out with Paxton Lynch? And if it doesn't work out with Paxton Lynch, you know what? Maybe you look at a free agent and, you know, obviously to bring in a quarterback. You have Phillip Rivers, potentially maybe Alex Smith. You never know. That would be ideally very weird. I couldn't imagine that. As well as Phillip Rivers. Those are some potential names. Kirk Cousins, obviously. Those are potential names that could get some momentum to head to Denver. Obviously, I think John Elway addresses the offensive line and where the Broncos are hurting big time in free agency. He did a great job bringing in Ron Leary, who's playing phenomenal. And I think Ron Leary had one of his worst games of the year against the Eagles. But Ron Leary's been one of the most consistent guys on the Denver Broncos O-line. Matt Paradise is fine at center. Maybe you want to bring in some help at right tackle and left guard. I think those are areas where the Denver Broncos need help the most on the offensive line. So, Braden, great question. Thank you for asking that as well. So, I'm going through here on Twitter. And wrapped in plastic at Twin Peaks Giant asked the question in regards to Dave Scott as well as Dustin's question. He says, genuinely interested to know why you think he's deserving of more time. And this is all in regards to Vance Joseph. What do you see changing? Now, ideally, I think when you look at Vance Joseph's situation, you got to give him more time, okay? He's a first-year NFL coach. He came off as a defensive coordinator last year from the Miami Dolphins. He's got to have a little bit of a chance to kind of see what he's got. Now, I've seen people on Twitter say that Vance Joseph inherited a terrible roster or a terrible personnel. I tend to disagree with that because when I look at the Broncos offense, you have Emmanuel Sanders, you have C.J. Anderson, Jamal Charles. Now, Jamal Charles needs more carries. Devontae Booker needs more carries. You have Andy Janovich at fullback. He needs to be in more in order to set up the run and attack. Jeff Heuerman, A.J. Derby need to be in the game more because they are playmaking tight ends as well as, you know, ideally I wish we could have seen Jake Butt, you know, tight end out of Michigan this year, but they shut him down for the rest of the year, give him a whole year, a whole offseason to, you know, prep his knee, obviously after ACL surgery in a bowl game at college football last year. That was rough. So Jake Butt is probably, he's done for the year. Chad Kelly's done for the year. Why not look at, you know, bringing in different pieces for Vance Joseph. Now, Vance Joseph has the ability to kind of put his hand in the pot and dig around, move things around a little bit. Maybe even in regards to play calling, maybe they're going to change some schemes up. But that's the benefit of having a bye week at maybe week 7, week 8. And when you have your bye week at week 4, I feel like it kind of sets you up for failure. Now, let's not forget the Denver Broncos inherited one of the toughest schedules in the NFL this season, and they've been in those games minus the last 4 weeks. Minus the last 4 weeks, the Denver Broncos have absolutely struggled in terms of being in games, and when they find themselves down early, they hang their heads and quit. So the Denver Broncos have to really avoid that going forward, especially if they want to have any success later on this year. If not, they're going to find themselves looking at a top 10 draft pick in this year's NFL draft as well. So, Periscope, real quick, send me some quick questions before we get off air. Like I said, if you love listening to Lockdown Broncos, leave us a 5-star review. Please head over to Twitter right now. Follow the show at Lockdown Broncos. Follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I'll follow you back. We talk Denver Broncos stuff daily here as well as on the Lockdown Podcast Network, daily Denver Broncos podcast. We're going to have Fan Friday this week. Fan Friday makes its return as my good friend over at Predominantly Orange, Sarah Bettinger. He was on Lockdown Broncos a little earlier. He joins me this Friday to talk about the Denver Broncos, where they're at currently. He's a writer over at predominantlyorange.com, so go on over there to predominantlyorange.com if you have the time. They have some great article, great opinions as well. And don't forget, the Locked On Broncos have partnered with the Locked On Podcast Network and FanRag Sports to bring you daily writing content of the Denver Broncos, specifically covering the Denver Broncos. You get the podcast, and then you get the article footage. We're going to get that up and running very soon, but you can go check it out, what it looks like right now, over at Locked On Broncos.com. So, Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for another great Twitter Tuesday. I love doing this. We're back next week on Tuesday, same time. We're going to do this live Periscope, live recording of Locked On Broncos as well. So I love that element. It was very fun tonight. Be sure to listen to the show. Obviously, you're going to get it on your phone, iTunes. If you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. Tell us why you love Locked On Broncos and leave your Twitter handle for your chance to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription powered by Pro Football Focus and the Locked On Podcast Network. So this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.